Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. February 20th, 2022. Some good thoughts for the coming week. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, February 20th, 2022. Every deficiency, lack, or negativity we feel, every worry we experience, and every concern in our hearts, are only the results of the severance of the loving connections we once had with one another. This is why the only way to correct anything in our lives and in the world around us, is to restore and improve our human connections. When we move toward connection rather than toward separation and hostility, as is the case today, everything that seems threatening, menacing or empty, every ache in our hearts and every pain in our bodies will become positive, filled with joy, connection, and love. All we have to think about is changing our relationships from hostility to friendship. Because we are different, we are stronger together and weaker apart. When we care for one another, the differences between us complement each other to form a whole and wholesome society. When we are apart, they weaken us. This is why we needn't try to make everyone the same, but rather caring, and leave our views and characters as they are. Then, the whole world will find its peace and harmony. My new article on LinkedIn, The Freedom Convoy is a Power Struggle. The Freedom Convoy was originally created to protest vaccine mandates for crossing the United States border, but later turned into a protest about COVID-19 restrictions in general. While many of the drivers and activists partaking in the convoy do it in good faith, the forces behind them have nothing to do with freedom or health, and everything to do with power and wealth. It is very sad that such an important issue as our health has been hijacked from the public, as well as from health professionals, who are the ones to whom we should listen. Instead, each side, for and against compulsory vaccination and mask mandates, pulls its way not because of health concerns, for most of the time, but because political and industrial entities are paying top dollar for people to push the agenda that benefits them financially or politically. As for people's health, it is inconsequential. Since there is no profit in caring for the public, there is no reason to promote it. As I see it, the only benefit from the struggles erupting over vaccine and mask mandates is that we will realize our true nature. In the end, each side is so focused on winning that it is impossible to know who is right, who is wrong, or even if there are right and wrong in this clash. The solution to the questions of who is right and what is the right thing to do will come only when we change human society from the basis. The virus is dissolving the fabric of society precisely in order to force us to rebuild it, and rebuild it right. Reconstructing society must begin where society is weakest, in our attitude toward others. Only when we begin to treat others with consideration first, and finally with concern, other aspects of society will begin to improve, as well. Until we initiate this transformation, matters will continue to deteriorate. If we do not reverse course in time, society will collapse. War, any war, never leads to peace. A war ends when one or more parties lose, or when the parties run out of power, funds, soldiers, or any combination of the above. It does not end because the parties want peace. The only way to turn enemies into friends is through explanation. Once people are too exhausted to fight, they will have no choice but to listen. Then it will be possible to talk to them about mutual dependence, the benefits of cooperation, the advantages of peaceful relations, and other ideas that pride and vanity shun while we are strong. Interestingly, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which comes from the word shlemut, wholeness/complementation. It means that we are at peace only when we complement one another and together make up a whole. To do that, we must look at every problem from every angle, and embrace all perspectives. Our sages expressed this notion in various ways, some of which are quite poetic. The book Likuti Halakot, assorted rules, for example, rights, vitality is mainly through unity, by all the differences being included in the source of the unity. For this reason, love your neighbor as yourself is the great rule. To include in unity and peace, the vitality, sustenance, and correction of all of creation are mainly by people of differing views becoming included together in love, unity, and peace. Similarly, Ray E. Cook wrote, any division between one collective and another builds worlds. Since everything is improvement and construction, there is no reason to speak bitterly, but to announce the greatness that both sides are doing, and that together, they are perfecting the everlasting structure and are correcting the world. Then, the love will grow according to the intensity of the hate, and the connection will grow according to the size of the separation. Only if we approach our dispute with this positive and proactive attitude, do we have a chance of turning the deepening divisions in society into greater unity. If we insist on fighting through the end, our society will end before the battle ends. Michael Lehtman, on the Times of Israel, Antisemitism, the Impolite Side of Britain. Go back to the gas chambers and filthy Jews are just some of the increasingly frequent antisemitic attacks on Jewish youth and children in the UK, who are also confronted with Nazi salutes, insulted and spat upon. Meanwhile, adult Orthodox Jews have been brutally beaten in broad daylight in unprovoked attacks. Why is hatred of Jews so virulent and shameless in the prim and proper UK? A staggering total of 2,255 antisemitic incidents were registered in 2021, the highest total ever in Great Britain and a record-breaking number in recent years anywhere in Europe. The study conducted by the Community Security Trust, a UK anti-Semitism monitoring group, found a 34% increase in antisemitic incidents, up from 1,684 recorded cases of Jew hatred in 2020. In recent weeks, security cameras have documented particularly serious cases such as unprovoked beatings of Hasidic Jews. An ultra-Orthodox mother walking down a London street with her two children, one in a stroller, was verbally assaulted by a man who shouted, "We do not want Jews here." In another case, children outside a Jewish school were victims of antisemitic slurs by a man who threatened them, "You Jews are so bad, I wish I had a gun to shoot you." Last December, during Hanukkah celebrations, Jewish teenagers traveling by bus in London were attacked by a group of men who insulted and even spat on them. The younger generation of British Jews is the new target of Jew haters, not because they are an easy target, but mainly because anti-Semites cannot imagine a new generation of Jews growing up in Britain. Such behavior, of course, is not expected in the seemingly polite, calm and even-tempered Britain. I have traveled through the UK several times and can testify that fine manners only deceive us, and mask the deep-rooted anti-Semitism that has been simmering for generations. Why is this so? The reason is that the more advanced and cultured a society is, the more anti-Semitic it becomes, and not the other way around, as one might think. In fact, besides being very developed, the British also have a very uncouth, straightforward and stubborn side. In addition to the medieval blood libels that are still present, and using the Israeli-Palestinian conflict as a pretext, they have all the elements to be truly anti-Semitic. It is precisely from their development that they have the clear understanding that Jews have a special role that they do not fulfill. That role is to connect positively as one people with one heart, to develop harmonious, unified relationships between themselves to become an example to the rest of the world, to become a light to the nations. All of humanity feels that everything depends on ego or self-interest and that we, the Jews, have raised the bar of egoism to the highest level. They expect us to balance this ego by transcending our differences and uniting for the benefit of all. If we do not achieve this goal, we hinder the path of goodness and tranquility for all, and antisemitism arises. The virulent hatred that rears its head in the UK and around the world should serve as an awakening for us, to unite and unleash the positive force of nature that will be activated when we become one. Now it is up to us, to be a light unto nations, to bring unity, peace and tranquility to the world by paving the way for others. Then we will guarantee a good future for this generation and the generations to come. Michael Lateman, on Quora, what is the most important thing as a teacher to teach your students? The correct worldview, a view of the world, life, a person and an epoch. That is most important for me, to position a person toward the correct view of his life. To do so, I need to more or less explain the picture of the world we live in, where it is headed, how to change it in the best possible direction, and provide the means to do so. The world derives from our perception. We do not actually live in the world lives in us. I thus need to teach that we create our world, painting it inside ourselves. It is quite difficult to reach that point. Starting to relate to the world in such a way is a very serious and internal spiritual revolution. Moreover, our attention needs to be drawn to the fact that the world is not what we feel. The world is a derivative of our attitude to it. That is, we can recreate and readjust ourselves to the perception of another world. The world has no shape or form of its own. It is a picture that we can program. Therefore, we can create the world we live in, and it will change according to the change in our wishes, qualities and efforts. Based on CAB TV's news with Dr. Michael Lateman on December 9, 2021. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lateman. Michael Lateman, on Quora, how do you define human progress? Human progress takes place in our attitude toward each other and to nature. The more we understand nature is a perfect mechanism, and the more we adapt ourselves to it, then the more we can consider ourselves making progress. By making such progress, we eventually enter into balance with nature, and by doing so, we achieve harmony and perfection. Progress in our attitudes to each other and to nature leads us to balance between positive and negative forces, and the ability to successfully navigate ourselves among these forces. We are born and we exist in the negative force, the human ego. This force makes us prioritize self-benefit over benefiting others and nature. We progress to balance among each other and with nature by aiming for a state where we each wish to benefit others and nature more than ourselves, and we work against our egos to achieve such balance. Such progress in our attitudes to each other and to nature requires investing in educational programs that can make it happen. These programs should focus on guiding people to reach a state of positive connection to each other above our egoistic and divisive drives. If we progress in other directions, for example, science and technology, without progressing in our attitudes to each other and to nature, then we will find ourselves in more and more of a tangle, using whatever we make or discover to our detriment rather than to our benefit. Based on the video Why New NASA Technology Doesn't Impress Kabbalists with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lateman and Ron Levi. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lateman. Michael Lateman, on Quora, how can I stop being superstitious? We are unfamiliar with nature as a whole. There are several acting forces that suddenly appear to us, and we do not know what to do with them. We then believe in all sorts of things that supplement our power of faith, which serve to make us familiar with, and take control of, such forces. Those are what we call superstitions. Then, the question becomes, how should we relate to the unknown? First and foremost, we need our faith to be in the force of love and connection, that there is a single force sustaining everything and everyone in a single system. If we wish for everything and everyone to be as one, then we are on the right track. We can thus stop being superstitious when we relate logically to reality, that there is a superior force of love, giving and connection in nature, and we can do certain actions in our world in order to reveal that force and adapt ourselves to it. Therefore, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, if we wish to receive protection in our lives, we should direct ourselves at the force of love, giving and connection, the force of nature, and by doing so, we will attract this force into our lives. This is the meaning of what is written in Kabbalistic texts, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Based on the video, "How a Kabbalist Relates to Superstitions," with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and Ron Levi. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Different manifestations of the upper force. Question: we say that there is none else besides him and that the Creator does everything. At the same time, we say that we create him by our mutual inclusion. Is it the same Creator, or do we just lack the words to designate two different forces? Answer: these are different manifestations of the upper force. The first manifestation is when the Creator builds, makes, and creates, and there is none else besides him. The second is when we manifest the Creator in relation to ourselves and talk about the measures, steps, possibilities, and means of attaining him. This is completely different, since we are already grading him into levels, steps, and talking about the Creator, the light of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Haya, Yehidah, and so on, at what levels, in what properties we perceive him. This is not the upper light that created us, but its various parts, which we, to the extent of our similarity to the upper light, snatch from it, feel, and reveal. But, in principle, there is only one source, the upper light. On one hand, it is how he affects us, and on the other hand, how we partially comprehend him in our kelim, vessels, to the extent of our similarity to him. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 6, 2022, Approaching the Creator Through the Network of Connections Between Us, Lesson 1. What matters is what we ask for. Question: I ask the Creator to be kind to my friends, to lift them up, but this is all material. How can I do something spiritual? Answer: it doesn't matter that we are in the material, egoistic part of creation. What matters is what we ask for. We always correct from the egoistic part of creation to the altruistic one. This is how the prayer, "Man, Hisaron, Lack," rises when I turn to the Creator from my faulty state and ask him to transfer me to a corrected one. There can be nothing else here. In a good state, I imagine myself connected with my friends, and all of us, together, are directed to our common unity, which we call the Creator. We want to give everything, each of us, outwardly relative to the others, to this common connection of all that is good and kind in us. This is the correct aspiration of a person through a group to the Creator. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 6, 2022, Approaching the Creator Through the Network of Connections Between Us, Lesson 1. Life is in the friends. Question: our convention is called Rising Above Ourselves. Could you give an outline for everyone of what we should do at this Congress? What task would you set for us, now? Answer: ascend above yourselves. We must unite, push, stomp on, and suppress our egoism. Not to suppress it so that it does not exist, but to rise above it, until the moment I feel myself in my friends. And then I want to feel the Creator in all this. But one after the other, first feel the friends and then the Creator. Question: so throughout the convention I should feel my friends, not myself? Answer: yes. This should run like a thread through the convention. I want to achieve a sense of connection with my friends, a connection in which I will discover the quality of the Creator, the upper force of bestowal, love, and connection. I don't need anything else from my life. Just that. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 6, 2022. Approaching the Creator through the Network of Connections Between Us, Lesson 1. What will save us from extinction? Comment: Greta Thunberg scolds world leaders for their years of empty chatter and climate inaction. She criticizes England, the USA, and China for manipulating statistics, and gives many examples, especially about England. England calls itself a world leader in the field of climate, and they have, as she says, power plants that are one of the largest sources of carbon dioxide emissions. My response: yes, they run everything on coal. It's a tradition. Question: she put them all in the naughty corner. It feels like we no longer listen to scientists, we don't trust them, and this girl is being published everywhere, she is being listened to, she is on a pedestal. Is this how our time is? Answer: our time is the most corrupt and the dirtiest. They took this girl, made whoever they required out of her, and let her out on a short leash. Question: do you think there are some forces behind her? The media don't know what to do. Answer: yes, who would have heard her otherwise? They look at a person with one eye and understand where he can be more suitable to earn a rating. Do you really think that a child jumps out on stage by him or herself? Who allows it? Who gives the radio time, screen time, TV time, etc.? Question: why is this being done? Answer: firstly, the world needs such noise. It is a distraction. Secondly, there are big forces behind all this, forces which benefit from it. Question: which heroes would you bring out today? What kind of heroes does today's time need? Answer: it must be some very serious organization, a gathering of scientists, politicians, and economists who all sit together and seriously discuss what we can do. But first we need a very serious report, that is, research. Question: do we have to reach the depth of the problem of what is happening? Answer: we understand the depth of the problem. Question: it's clear to you. Nobody talks about it much. Will humanity have to come to the depth of the problem? Answer: we won't be able to do anything. Everyone pulls in their own direction toward where they can make more money. Question: so, to my question, who should I bring out to be heard? Is the answer, the one who leads to the depth of the problem? Answer: if they seriously tackled this issue, they would come to the conclusion that nothing can be done and nothing is needed. There is only one answer. We can bring the world to balance only if we ourselves enter into balance in our relations. And then we will simply find ourselves in a world in which everything will be enough and good for everyone. This is not a fantasy or utopia, it's just something that will happen involuntarily. If we make the balance in the world at the level of man, then all the lower levels, animal, vegetative, and inanimate, will also come into balance. Comment: it's like you're addressing a person and saying that he needs to change for the sake of good connections. And a person can't do that. He doesn't want to. My response: he can't. Then he will be brought down. Comment: he needs an enemy. My response: he himself is the enemy. Comment: you say to a person, it's all you. Because of you these ecological problems are happening. My response: yes. Question: how do we get out of this story? Answer: there is no way. Either we kill ourselves or we start changing ourselves. One or the other. Only the correction of man can bring nature into balance. And it is possible to bring a person into balance only if we gradually create an atmosphere of love your neighbor between us. Question: should we all be exhausted in search of a way out? Do we need to be exhausted in order to come to what you say? Answer: then we would really want to hear the answer here. We would be able to hear it. Never mind. That's all right. The upper governance knows everything and can do anything, and it does everything anyway. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, November 1, 2021. Dialogue with Nature. Question: there were so many different kinds of natural disasters last year. The year started with a wild cold spell in Spain. They did not expect it and were not ready for it. There were earthquakes. There were floods in Indonesia. A glacier came down in the Indian Himalayas and buried 170 people. There was a sandstorm in Beijing and flooding in Australia. In Western Europe, heavy rains washed away cars and flooded cities. Fires raged in California, Turkey, and Greece. An earthquake in Haiti killed 2,200 people died. On the Canary island of Palma, a volcano erupted for 3 months. This has not happened for 500 years. Dozens of tornadoes swept across the United States. A typhoon hit the Philippines and left havoc in its wake. This is a short list of what happened. Can you translate to us, in human language, what nature is saying to us? Answer: nature tells us, it serves you right. Really, how you treat nature, disturbing its balance in everything possible, at all levels, in all cases and possibilities, this is how nature reacts. Imagine that you have a sick body, the whole earth, the whole globe. And what will you do? Question: so what do we do? Answer: do not interfere, do not disturb its relative peace. It is in homeostasis. Very well, let it stay that way, don't touch it. Question: but one way or another, don't we have to produce something, extract minerals? Answer: it depends in what doses. It's like the doctor says, in moderation. It's the same here. You dig into the ground, you start picking at it, taking stuff out, digging it out, pulling it out, sucking it out. You have to understand that it all needs to be replenished at some point. We are slowly getting old and dying. The same thing probably happens with the earth. Question: how do we enter this dialogue? How do we behave with nature so that we have homeostasis with it? Answer: we must understand that this is a living organism, an actual living organism. And if we impact it, we must do everything very carefully and cautiously. And it is necessary to compensate and to understand that if it is one organism, it does not matter where you operate. If you do something somewhere in Australia, it will resonate in Canada or somewhere in South America. We are really responsible here for everything and for everyone. We have nothing but this land. We can't fly anywhere and do anything. And we just do whatever we want here today. And there is no reaction, no calculation, no thought for tomorrow. Comment: our current thought is to gain from this, to earn more, more, and more money. My response: but then we lose 20 times more. We must compensate for all this. Comment: a person has a thought, after me, even a flood. My response: the whole problem is in our egoism. That's clear. Question: if possible, can you give one more recipe? What is a person's work with this organism called Earth? Answer: the Earth is a very wise organism. Its laws, which are still unknown to us, hide huge layers of wisdom that are our future. And that's why we need to treat it very carefully and with respect. Question: so are you saying that if this thought enters a person and lies in him, then he will have a completely different attitude and everything in general? Answer: yes, which means if you dig with a shovel, you must explain why, for what, how, and how you will compensate for it. It's as if you borrow from the earth its matter, its energy, and its power that it will have to invest in what you, for example, plant in it. Question: so even for such a small intervention, I have to make a huge calculation before I do it? Answer: yes. It's an attitude, but it will save us. Otherwise the earth, as it is said, will spew you out. Comment: yes, it will spew us out. It seems that the hints have already become very clear and are knocking on our door. My response: yes. There is a beginning. Comment: Let's hope that we will understand. My response, no, there will be no hope here. Until a person corrects his egoism, he will inevitably harm nature and the planet he lives on. And it will be bad. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, December 30, 2021. Mutual guarantee is a means to rise above egoism. Question: does mutual guarantee free us from egoism? Answer: mutual guarantee does not destroy egoism, it raises us above it, as we usually say, faith above reason, the quality of Bina above the quality of Malkhut, bestowal above reception. Reception does not disappear. Everyone who is higher than the other, his egoism is greater. Therefore, we grow both in Malkhut and in Bina. And this is how we rise. Question: on what does it depend that some friends can accept the law of mutual guarantee much more easily than others? Answer: it depends on the qualities of the soul, on its depth. But, in principle, we must understand that there is nothing else but the recognition of evil in our egoism, the opportunity to rise above it, connect with others, and attain the Creator in this state. This is all we have, four stages of ascending to the Creator. In general, there is nothing difficult here. We have talked about this many times. This is what you have to do between you. Question: to enter the mutual guarantee, do I receive strength only from the friends or can I receive it from my egoism, since it is beneficial for me? Answer: for now, it is all mixed. You still cannot determine exactly where your strength comes from and what your intentions are. But this is at the beginning. Later you will have the opportunity to check yourself in the upper light. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 9, 2022, Working in Mutual Responsibility, Lesson 6.